If you help me preach, Mr. Cooley, if you would open Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1, so that we start there. If you would help me read that for us as we get ready for the word. And as he's opening that, I want to say, Manuela, you did an exceptional job last Sunday. The message was absolutely exceptional. She did. One of the best things she did was make all the husbands feel real good. She did, yeah, when she told the story about Marco. Yeah, absolutely. Now, we husbands know that it's okay to mess up and give our wives rubbish gifts, right? That's what she was. Weren't you in church last Sunday? She did a real good job of that. So thank you. We all felt very good after that. Very, very encouraged. Praise the Lord. Now, Andy, if you do us the service and read for us Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 1, please.
So it says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of birth.
Yes, I promised Andy that I would say something about Easter, and we're entering the season where we all celebrate the death of a man, God-man, called Jesus. And the day of death is the most significant day in a man's life, according to Ecclesiastes 7. And this season is the most significant season in the Christian calendar, because in the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we all were opened into the family of God. Amen. And a relationship with God. And that is my Easter 1 message. Thank you. I got an email, anyway, praise God. Yeah, he's keeping us in the straight and narrow, and he is. Now, if you have your Bibles, we're gonna talk about the integrity of God's word, which is the Bible. And actually, this was confirmed by Duncan. Three, four weeks ago, you stood up and you read from, you stood up and you read from Psalms 138. By the way, thank you, Dola. She's the one who helped with all the technology here, helping me put this thing up here so that we can all can read. But Duncan, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, stood up and read Psalms 138. In the same service, Jerry stood up and read from the same, he was giving a word from the same Psalms. And that gave me a hint as to what it is that the Lord would have me speak about today. I've been thinking about it. I've been praying about it, just waiting on the Lord. On what should I say? What should I bring the day that I'm scheduled to speak? So in the mouth of two witnesses, let everything be established. Now, Psalms 138 is phenomenal. It will do you well to read the whole psalm. But for us today, our opening scripture is Psalms 138 verse 2 says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Now, we were singing, and rightfully so, that there is no name than the name of Jesus. God has given Jesus the name that is above every other name. Are we good on that? Amen. His name is the highest name. But God the Father says this, above every name that you know, whether it's Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah El, Adonai, Jehovah Shalom, whatever name you know God as, he has magnified his word above all his name. And it behooves us in the day we live in to approach the word of God with intelligence as opposed to being intellectual about it. Now, Intellectual. When you look at that word, that is defined about critical thinking, and we live in a world where people are very critical in their thinking, in poking holes at theories and principles. But when you talk about intelligent, and that's how God would have us approach His word, intelligence is all about gathering and applying knowledge. So God would have us to gather information, to gather knowledge from his word. And he would have us to come and reason together with him, according to Isaiah, not based on intellectualism, but based on intelligence. Even though your sins are as red as scarlet, God says, now come, let us reason together. Because there's a solution for your sin. Hello, somebody. Amen. Now, last time I was here, we read from the Gospel of Luke chapter 5, I believe verse 17, when the house was packed, Jesus was preaching, right? And the house was packed with Sadducees and Pharisees, and they could see far, or so they thought. Jesus called them blind. But it was packed out. And all they were doing was being intellectuals. They were poking holes at what Jesus was saying. Who is this man to forgive sin? But here is a group, four guys and one guy who is paralyzed. They approached God from a point of intelligence. They said, there's a man in there. If we get to him, he will sort us out. Amen. Let's tear the roof down. That is intelligence. Intelligence is reasoning with God from his standpoint, not from your standpoint. Amen. And so God says this. He magnifies his word above his name. Number one, why is that so? Because God's word will do exactly what it says it will do. God's word will do exactly what it says he'll do. Now, for this, Isaiah 55 verse 11, I was reading it again last night and I was impressed to read it from verse 7 because it's powerful. Is it okay if at all we dig into the word for just a little bit? Yes. 1, 2, 3, 4. We'll be praying for the rest of you. But anyway, praise God. Watch this. Verse 7 says in the King James Version, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Somebody say return. Return. Good word. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Somebody say pardon. Pardon. Good. Now, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, I love King James, and maketh it bring forth, and bird, that it may give, watch this, seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth out. Watch this. On my mouth. That means the word of God is God's word out of where? There we go. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing. Somebody say the thing. Yeah, God speaks into things and it prospers in the thing wherein he sends it. God's word will do what God's word says it will do. And God is not a man to lie, nor he's the son of man to repent. What he said he will do, he will do. That's why he says, let the weak say. So your intellectual self is saying it's paining here, it's paining there. Your intelligent self should show up and say, no, by his stripes I am healed. Because now you're taking on intelligence, you're taking on information, you're collecting that knowledge and you're applying it to your situation. Because his word will do what it says it will do. Watch this. The Bible claims divine inspiration for. And because I only got about 10 minutes, I'm going to do this real quick. The writings, praise God. The writings, the Bible claims divine inspiration for, number one, the writings. Why is the Bible the word of God? Number one, it is because it is the word of God. Amen. Now, the writings, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration. Now, the English Standard Version says it is breathed out by God. Now, watch this. The inspiration is from God. The words actually came from God. The writers just wrote what God said. And that is why the intellectual self, sometimes we can say, can we believe what David wrote? Now, David was a murderer. Why in the world should we listen to him when he was a murderer and then he had an issue with Bathsheba? Yeah? And why should we listen to Peter, the dude that couldn't control his anger? I mean, Marcus. No, not that one. Marcus lost an ear because a guy, you know, he couldn't control his temper. He was angry, took out his sword, cut off Marcus' ear, and Jesus had to stick it back. And now here is Peter writing later on, and the intellectual self will say, let's argue about the writers. Forget the writers. All the writers are is that they are mouthpieces or they are scribes to write what God said. Now, if I told you, Mr. Andrew Coley, could you please write, Elder, of course, could you please write, you know, the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog. If you wrote that, yeah, if you wrote that, would you be the author or would you be the scribe? You'd be the biographer. The author is God because it's God who spoke it. The guys that wrote it all the while were biographers, like you will have one for yourselves. Now, the writers were holy. Now, it doesn't matter what you think about Peter. It doesn't matter what you think about Paul, the guy who persecuted the church. In fact, the guy who was consenting to Christians being persecuted. Doesn't matter what you think or what I think. What actually matters is what God thinks. His opinion is the one that counts. And according to God, these guys were holy. Says 2 Peter 1:21, holy men of God were moved by the Holy Ghost. That means they were inspired to write what they wrote. They were moved by God to write. And this is why the Bible is divine in origin, okay? Right, watch this. The Bible claims divine inspiration for the words. The words are pure and powerful. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13 says, not in words of men's wisdom. And that is where the problem lies. Because right now we are intelligent people that like to argue things out, right? We like to reason things out from men's context, not from God's context. The world is in a mess because we haven't tapped into God's intelligence. Information, words that are available for every single one of us to sort our mess and to sort our world. We're praying and we're terrified about Brexit. I wonder if anybody has gone to God and found out in the context of Scripture, what are we to do with this Brexit thing? Is it good or is it bad? I wonder if somebody has gone to God and watched his word. Not applied the wisdom of men, but applied the wisdom of God to sort out our mess. Because, you know, God has got the solution. Come on, somebody. Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank you. Now, God has got the solution. And we must apply his word using his wisdom, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That is why Jesus would take natural things, give parables about a sower sowing a seed, so that he can bring out a spiritual truth. Now, we are stuck in carnal interpretation of what is going on. And thereby, we are stuck because the solution is not in the problem. The solution is in the promise. And we need to go to the promise so that we can get a solution for the problem. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
That you might be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets. Mindful, as in pause, silah, think and take to mind the words that God speaks that were spoken by God through his holy prophets. Being mindful. Now, we are mindful about everything else. In fact, most people read their newspapers more diligently than they read the Bible. I am not pointing any fingers here, but if that's you, say ouch, amen. We listen more to the newspapers that have to change every single day because people change their minds and the events that are unfolding. But we should actually be reading the Bible more so that we can interpret what is going on in the world. If you are in a situation, find out what has God got to say about this. What has God got to say about my state of mind? He says He'll give him peace that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in him. And therein is us being mindful of the words that are spoken. Now, Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5. Every word of God is pure. Somebody say every word.
Every word.
That means every word. You know, this does not contain God's word. This is God's word. The words you speak, when you speak words, your words don't contain your words. Those are your words. When God speaks, his word does not contain his word. This is his word. How many of them are pure? Every single one of them. Even the one that says, let's not go there. Judas went and hanged himself, right? Even that word is pure. And then another place says, so go do likewise. Now, it is written there, but you shouldn't apply it, okay? That was for your learning, so that you don't go do what Judas did. All right? Now, watch this. Every word of God is pure. That is why we say the Bible is divine in authorship, or is divine in inspiration. The Bible was written by approximately 36 different individuals over a period of 1,600 years. And this was before algorithms. This was before blockchain technology. In fact, it was only written after some African came with an invention called papyrus. And then they began to write scrolls. And the word paper, actually, the root word of it is papyrus. And before an African became inventive, we had no word, written word. We had no logos. People are solely dependent on the spoken one, the spoken word, the rhema. They could only hear it through. Now we have it both, logos and rhema, because God had somebody to invent it. So they wrote it over 1,600 years. It is impossible for a carnal mind and carnal wisdom to orchestrate the workings and the rhyming of scripture that we have today. It is impossible for somebody to have thought it over and brought in 36 different authors from different continents, different generations, to write and rhyme the same thing. Impossible. Had to be God. That is why the unity of it is a miracle. It is one of those proofs that we say is the reason why God spoke and God is still speaking, because we still have his word. Now then, what is the Bible for? One of the things that I want to bring this one out, and I said in the English Standard Version, is so that we can understand that God has not left us here without equipment. We are not trying to survive Brexit without God. If only we would remember our equipment. If only we would go back to the Word and see what he has provided the Word for. All scripture is breathed out by God, and it is profitable. Somebody say profitable. That means going to add value to you. It is profitable for teaching. If you haven't been taught the word, you're missing out. It is also profitable for reproof. Now, if you go to the word and the word does not reprove you, does not rebuke you, you're being denied. Somebody say rebuke. It's a good word. You don't reprimand people you don't care about. You don't correct people you don't care about. If you're a father and you have children, you only correct them because you love them. And you want the best out of them. And you want them to stay in the straight and narrow. Like Andrew is keeping us in the straight and narrow. You want them to grow up to their fullest potential and experience everything that the fatherhood has in store for them. That is why you correct them. That's why you reprove them. But we live in a world where people are wary about correcting anybody, because we are PC and we don't want to be sued. But God's word is God's word. It's there to reprove us. It's there to rebuke us. Say amen. Amen. And every one of us actually deserves a good rebuke. I know I was rebuked by, you know, Duncan came over to me and he told me off. I thought, what did I do? I said, I received it. Yes, Pastor, I'm going to do exactly that. I hadn't opened my mouth. Oh, Jesus. But you know what? I'm open to rebuke. I'm open to reprove. I'm open to instruction. You did too. Yes, we're going to talk about that in a minute. He did. Praise God. We don't have time to bring it over in the service, but it is profitable for teaching. Somebody say teachability. It's meekness. And those that are meek shall inherit the earth. If you're teachable, if you can be told what to do. And that's what he did. He told me what to do. Jesus, help me out. Now, watch this. The word is good for correction. We are to be corrected. And as a church, we are open and we must be open to correction. Correction, not based on man's wisdom, but based on the word of God. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
And also for training in righteousness. The word is here so that we can be right with God. We are clean through the washing of the water by the word. It is the word that brings us into right standing with God. But I thought it was the blood of Jesus. How did you know there was a blood of Jesus? You only knew that there's a blood of Jesus by the word. So everything comes from God through his word. In fact, can I be bold? God and his word are the same. If there is no word, there is no God. Because in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So outside of God's word, there is no God. But God says, hey, you want to go bring my people out? When they ask you who sent you, you say, I am. Yes. That means I will do what I say I'll do. I am what I say I am. God is who he says he is. And God's word actually describes all of God. So he equips us, he washes us by the washing of the water, by the word. There's a conspiracy here going on. So I must bring it to a close. I must bring it to a close. Now, here then. Let me open this thing up. Are you getting anything out of this?
Yes.
In conclusion then, the Bible is supernatural in origin. It is eternal in duration. It is divine in authorship. It is infallible in authority. Next time, Stanley, do it in point 14. It is inexhaustible in meaning. It is unique in revelation. It is personal in application. The word of God is there for every single one of us to apply it. Collect the information, then apply it to our own self so that you are equipped with the word. It is perfect in precept. It doesn't need your arguments. It doesn't need you poking holes in it. It needs you to come onto the intelligent side and say, whatever that man says is going to happen, it's going to happen. The last recorded words of Mary, the mother of Jesus, was, whatsoever he says unto you. There you go. It is perfect in precept. It is powerful in effect. And God's word is there for us to do one thing with it. To just do it. Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. When we do it, we release the inherent power of that word. When we apply it, we release the inherent power of that word. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you because today your word is your word. Your word is your word. And Lord, we respect the fact that you have not left us on planet Earth to try and make it by our own. No, you have left us your word. You have given us your word. You are more than enough to watch over your word, to perform it in our lives. You are equal to your word. What you said you will do, you will do. When we are weak, we say we are strong because your word says so. Let the sick say, I'm healed because your word says so. Lord, you're more than able to do what you said in your word. Now, Lord, help us to depart from the ways of the world and come into the ways of the Word, so that we can be translated and our lives can be changed by the renewing of our minds, by the Word of God that we listen to and we receive in our spirits. We pray today that you will help us through this time of Easter in remembering what Jesus came to do. The day that a man died is the most significant day of his life. He died so that he can open up heaven for us. And as we remember it, God help us to know that it's not just about Easter eggs and bunnies. It's about a man who opened heaven for us. By the death he died, and by the rising up again that he rose, we ask that you help us not become intellectual about your words, but become intelligent in the way we approach your word, by gathering the information of your word, by getting knowledge and understanding of your word, and then doing it, because faith without works is dead, being alone. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Yeah.